Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, they blew up the chicken man in Philly last night. Now they blew up his house too.
Paul Zeiss with me today along with City Limits. And hopefully you're on our internet feed, 93.7thefan.com. Because if you are, you can watch Mark Cabali. Okay, the Pat McAfee Show's got nothing on us. We have Cabali on video here, Paul, which is very exciting for the masses.
Where is he at?
Where are you at? At your house?
No. Where is the video at?
Oh, the video's at 93.7thefan.com.
Well, let's pull it up.
Under the live video feed.
Let's pull it up.
Where are you right now, and how do we have him on video? Does he have a camera at his house?
He has a camera on his phone.
On your phone. You're just filming. Okay. All right.
It's actually called a laptop, Joe.
Yeah.
But see, you can hear me, right? Everything's working here, right?
Yeah, it doesn't sound that great. We get off to a rough start with his first comment is sarcastic towards me.
Sarcastic. It's a laptop. It's not a phone.
Right.
That was actually, you know what?
You idiot, Joe.
It was but again, the idiot was City Limits because he said he was on his phone. So we can at least say it was
he's
him.
He's on Limits. You're supposed to be the guy who's on top of things technologically.
He's on a young
device.
Guy.
Whatever. He's on a device.
A young guy.
Whatever it
there
is.
He is. I see him in his baseball cap. What is that, a Georgetown hat? Is that what that is?
No, it's actually Port View Bulldogs, not the best 8-and-under baseball team in the Mon Valley area.
The Port View Bulldogs, right?
There you go.
So you're wearing your son's baseball hat. Is that what you're doing?
No. Actually, you can order those now. They do them for fundraisers.
I got
one to actually fit my big dome.
Mm. All right, good. I'm glad.
Who's got the bigger dome, you or Malzy?
Malzy, easy.
Well, I was just going to say, is the Port View Bulldogs, are they in first place?
Well, they start their season on Saturday. I think Joe and Paul, you guys should come up to do your little fan youth baseball outing thing, majig.
I would consider that. Listen, you're a very smart man, observant of sports. We just got breaking news of like a gigantic story here that could have ripple effects in other sports as well. Including the NFL, I might add, where Paul just reminded me Calvin Ridley was banned for a year. The NFL has had situations in its long ago past where guys have been banned for life. I don't know if they ever return. People like Alex Karras, Paul Hornung, this Jonte Porter, who's the brother of Michael Porter Jr. of the NBA champion Nuggets. This kid plays for the Raptors, gets a lifetime ban from the NBA for violating gambling rules. A lifetime ban. And it seems like he limited. Here's what they said. A league investigation found that Porter violated league rules by disclosing confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes, and betting on NBA games. This is a gigantic story, Mark. Have we reached the point where do you believe something like this could happen in the NFL? And there's more betting on that sport than any sport in the world, I believe. So what could be the ramifications of the proliferation of betting these days and of a situation like this? Because, man, I think you have to realize if you violate, you could be done for the rest of your career.
Yeah, I think obviously this is breaking news. I'm not too up to speed with it, but it sounds like he was, in with some dirty people there, right? So I think that's a sort of a trifecta, what you mentioned there with this basketball guy. You can't be able to be – there's a difference between, I guess, betting on your own team and providing information and sitting out in order to, shave points or something like that. It turns out to be the NFL. I think you'd have to – it'd be very difficult because – you know, who affects the game the most. I mean, you'd have to get a quarterback
or a kicker,
something like that. Yeah. So the lifetime pan on this, obviously it seems like it's pretty significant of the people he was involved with, was a pretty shady thing probably for a long time. In the NFL, it's a tough situation though, guys, because the NFL is so in bed with the betting organizations now and getting paid through it all that they have to let it not be known that this is not acceptable.
That's the thing. I think the thing about it is
this guy got caught because he was an idiot.
Yeah.
He was an idiot because he talked to some people and people around him, you know, and eventually it got out. But the other part of it is, he was an idiot because these were prop bets that were best, you know, were bet on him, where, you know, these gambling outlets started to look at, why are people betting on prop bets involving Jontay Porter, you know, and why all of a sudden is there all this money on these prop bets? But the thing about it, it's just like the NFL. I mean, if you can get to a quarterback or you can get to somebody that actually has, you know, real control over some of the things that go on. I mean, this has got to be the worst nightmare for any commissioner, doesn't it?
I would think so. I mean, I know for a fact that the NFL brings people in and tells the players what is permitted, what's not permitted, when it's permitted to be able to bet like that. But if you find a right guy, say a quarterback who's, you know, a journeyman quarterback who's not making very much money, and you get to this guy and you give him a boatload of cash to, you know, throw a pick here and there, I'm sure it's possible, but I think it's more likely to happen in games like basketball. Basketball seems like that's ripe for the taking there, of where one guy can affect prop bets, can affect, you know, the total points of a game.
Mark Cabali on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted HVAC and plumbing provider for over 50 years. You had a very interesting piece, within the last week, I think, Mark. The headline was this: Why Owner Art Rooney II Deserves More Credit for the Steelers' Philosophical Shift. Tell us what you think the philosophical shift has been in the simplest possible terms, and why he deserves credit.
Well, I don't think he is getting enough credit. I mean, Omar Khan's getting a ton of credit, and rightfully so. Tomlin somewhat did agree to, you know, reshaping this roster. But, you know, nothing happens in this organization unless Art Rooney says yes or no. You know, if he says yes, it's allowed to move forward. I mean, in years past, do you think that they go after a guy like Russell Wilson? Do you think that they cut or trade Kenny Pickett? Do you think they go after and give Patrick Queen that type of money? You think they make 9 trades within, you know, a year and a half? No, this is all stuff that is signed off by Art Rooney. And you could say, okay, join the times. But, you know, this organization has been in a, I don't want to say rut, but they've enjoyed success one way for so long. For a guy to be able to say, okay, no, this might not be working right now, so let's change it. This might be something that my father, my grandfather would not agree on, but okay, I don't care. We have to change here. And I don't think, like I said, anything happens in this organization unless Art Rooney says it does. And for everything that has happened and will happen here in the next week or so, if there's trades or whatnot, when I wouldn't roll any of that out, it's because Art Rooney says, yes, here's your blessing, go ahead and do what you need to do. And I think that's something that we have overlooked, a guy who's really, you know, changed his thought of how to win. And he's 69, 70 years old, been running the team for 20 some odd years. It can't be an easy thing to do.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, I think the other part of it is when they let Omar Khan and Andy Weidel, sort of when they promoted them, it seems like they basically understood that this is a new era of football and that they needed these two guys who are, you know, relatively young, what you would call younger guys, to sort of modernize the way they did business, right?
Yeah, but once again, if you have a organization that has been very successful over 50 years of doing it one way, why wouldn't that guy who is part of that say, hey, you know, our way still works? He's saying our way still works, but it needs tweaks. Let's bring in Omar Khan. Let's bring in an assistant general manager, like you said, for the first time in team history to work things out. We pretty much turned over the entire coaching staff in 3 or 4 years. The scouting department's different. The way they do their business is different, even though there's some familiar names like the Mike Tomlins and the Art Rooneys are still controlling it. I do think, I mean, it might not work. I mean, this could be a disastrous season. Who knows? You have no clue right now. Even so, he has changed his way and thinks that they need to do something different. And he's allowed that to happen. Like I said, if he did not want Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, if he wanted Kenny Pickett to still be the quarterback, he would have still been the quarterback here. And I would like to believe that 5 years ago, no matter what would have happened, if you're using a 20th overall pick on a quarterback, he would still be here year three regardless.
We're finally putting our voices to good use. The Fan 5-Alarm Marathon will take place on June 6th and 7th as we raise funds for dozens of local volunteer fire departments. We'll broadcast live for over 26 hours from the Green Tree VFD. We definitely want you to come out to support this cause. To register your local VFD, go to 937thefan.com. The Fan 5-Alarm Marathon, presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union and brought to you by Guardian Protection Services and ABC Fire Extinguishers. Mark Cabali on the line from The Athletic. What about this whole receiver situation, specifically Brandon Ayuk? Is there any chance that's going to happen?
I would say very limited, but I'm not going to rule out absolutely anything. We all should have learned that over the past 18 months, that anything is possible. You get into this draft, and all of a sudden, you know, the 49ers feel that they need to move on from him because they know they're not going to sign him. Who knows? The thing with Ayuk is I don't think the compensation is going to be an issue if whoever would and might trade for him or not trade for him. If it's a second round pick, if it's first round pick, who really cares in my eyes if you're getting a guy like that? The key is, do you want to be committed to a guy for $23, $24 million? Do you want to give him, you know, 3 years, $75 million, then a year from now have to pay George Pickens very similar to that money? So that contract is very – it's much more of a big deal than I think actually acquiring a guy like that. Would I love him? Yes. But I just don't know if you want to invest, you know, $30 million in, or $25 million in Ayuk and another $25 million per season in George Pickens next year. Then all of a sudden you have to understand they're only paying $6 million bucks for three quarterbacks right now. That will change if things work out like they want to this year. So I think that contract might be the big stickler and the reason why. I think they'll go something a little bit cheaper, or at least try to. But I think they will address it outside of the draft here, either before the draft, during the draft, after the draft, of a receiver, because you can't go into the season with what they have right now.
Well, they have to figure it out. And the thing about it is they've got other issues to address in the first round of the draft. Everything I've read from all of you mock draft guys suggests that the offensive lineman is on their radar for the first round. And if that's the case, then they absolutely need to go get a receiver, don't they, somewhere else?
Yeah. I mean, this, it's a deep receiver class, and you've heard that forever, that, you know, you can get guys rounds 2 through 5 that could be starters. But that doesn't help them this year. I mean, there's only a handful of guys that come in and were successful year one as a rookie. I mean, a couple off the top of my head, you know, non-first rounders, you know, or guys like Anquan Boldin, right? Puka Nacua from last year. I mean, Puka Nacua was a star fifth round pick. How many times has that ever happened? You need a guy this year. You can't rely on Van Jefferson, Quez Watkins, and Denzel Mims and all the other guys that they brought in. You need somebody with some experience right now. So even if they do get one in the draft, I think they still have to add a veteran, a guy who can come in and play at some point. And it's just a point of Omar, which he's really good at, is being patient. He's going to wait till it comes to them. If it has to wait till, you know, if it has to wait till June, if it has to wait till July or what, preseason, to be able to find somebody there. But yeah, they have to address that anywhere between the second. And you see with the guys they brought in for the pre-draft visits, it's not a secret. They brought in linemen and receivers for the most part. So, you know, that's what they're pretty much interested in the first 2 days.
Thank you, Dr. Cabali.
All right, Joe.
Thank you, man.
Nice to see you.
You're a wonderful man. Paul agrees.
Good luck to the Port View Bulldogs.
Yeah, big West Mifflin. Let's go Bulldogs, right?
See you, buddy.
All right, we'll see you guys.